My mother worked with a guy. He had a big job building a housing where they had 70 houses, and each house had six families in it. I said, I want that whole place for my paper route. But I had a bicycle, and I built a little trailer for the bicycle, and I started to line up the customers. That was good. I ended up with 240 customers. Saturday was shopping day. There would be a lot of ads in the papers. On Friday, if you piled them one on top of each other, it was 6 feet high. Well, the papers cost a penny, and I got a half a penny of that for each paper I delivered. The newspaper company took all the newsboys to dinner. And I was about 12 or 13. And at 7 o'clock, I got home and turned on the radio, and World War II had begun. Japan had bombed Hawaii and sunk our Navy. I was in 12th grade, and I was walking down the hall. I looked at this picture on the wall, and there was a fighter pilot. I want to fly one of those airplanes. And I went down to Pittsburgh to a Navy recruitment office. And I said, hey, I want to be a fighter pilot. Think I can? The Navy guy said, yeah, you can. No problem. But you have to take a test. You're lucky. It's going to be in 3 days. But I go down on the third day. There are 200 of us. And they said, a bell will ring at 8 o'clock, and you have to 4 o'clock. Comes to be 12 o'clock, and I'm done. So I look around, and everybody else is there. They're chewing the pencils. So I start going over the book again. And I do about 15 minutes. And I said, this is boring as hell. I'm going home. In a couple of weeks, I got a letter saying I passed. Two of us passed. And there was a railroad ticket in there. So I got a ride to Philadelphia. We were being sent to college. Met a girl and I fell in love with her. Her father was a doctor. Yeah, we were walking one night and she said, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, well, be a doctor, but I don't have any money, so I can't be a doctor. And she said, you can work and you can make money and save money and you can be a doctor. You can do it. You can do it. Went to my captain and I said, I don't want to be a pilot anymore. I want to be a doctor. Because of her sinus, half of them were training to be a doctor. Captain said, yeah, he said, I can't do anything for you. I said, can I double up on my on my studies? He said, yeah. Take these double courses and you pass, that's your business. The war was over in 1946. Japan finally gave up. And they got us on a train, and we drove down to Annapolis. And they kind of said, you guys are useless for us here. We still have armies in Europe and armies in the West. Why don't you guys all go home? The Navy educated me, and I've always had good jobs ever since. I pay more taxes in 1 year than 4 years of college and medical school cost. Somebody asked me, what are you going to do, John? And I said, well, I'll go down to Philadelphia and I'll get interviewed to be in medical school. I didn't even have a decent coat. I make an appointment to see the dean. We sit and we talk. They said, okay, thank you. We will let you know. So in a couple of weeks, they sent me my acceptance for medical school. Medical school was cheap. $500 a year to go to medical school. My physician wife and I went up to Maine to look at hospitals. We found one. The hospital was only 20 beds. We rarely had 20 patients in it. Maybe three or four patients at a time. And we covered about 25 miles in each direction around us. One day I was going down to Deer Island, come to the bridge, and one of my male patients was the guy on the bridge that took the money. And he said, Doc, I think I've got a bad cold, and I need some penicillin. And I said, no, you don't want that. Oh, Doc, I need a shot of penicillin. And we went on for about 5 minutes, and I kept saying, no, no, and he said, I need it. Now, he's the bridge taker. There are no cars around any place. And I said, okay, drop your pants. So he's outside of his booth, and he drops his pants. And I have a syringe full of water, and I give him a shot. About 2 weeks after that, I saw him, and he said, oh, you fixed me up good, Doc. Everything was fine after that. My physician wife and I decided to go back for more training. The doctor in charge of the allergy department, he helped to make the field. He took me in as a resident, and then he went and died. So I began to design my own research studies. You might be interested in how big a grain of ragweed pollen is. You could put 2,000 pollen grains, just would cover one row across the top of a pin. So that's how small it was. And I designed a little instrument where I had a small air pump, and I sucked pollen in through the air pump between two slides. The slides were covered with a sticky material, and the pollen grains would land on it. And then I could take those slides out and look at them under a microscope and count how many pollen grains were in a certain amount of air. That was very scientific. When we started, Congress had just designed the FDA. So those people were very interested in what we were doing. And they would use it to tell people that, hey, when you went and you bought this drug, it works. We had a lot of fun doing that. We did it about 20 years.